His blood, it says that old hymn, his blood and righteousness, and that does not change, and so it fills us with a hope. This last week, as I was spending some time just in my prayer shed, in the back of our property, praying and asking God for wisdom and direction, because I so desperately need that, each one of us do, and especially as I was looking ahead to 2024, at times the Lord in the past has given me a word for the next year, and I believe that God spoke to me clearly, not audibly, but in my spirit, I heard the words prepare. And then I began to think, as I was sitting there in that chair in the darkness of the early morning, I just began to think more and more about that word prepare. How many times he says prepare in the scriptures. Immediately I thought of Psalm chapter 23, where it says, he prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You think about that, the responsibility. So he's went ahead and he's prepared. And then I thought about what Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. So if Christ is preparing a place for us, shouldn't we take the responsibility to be prepared, to prepare ourselves for what's ahead? It's waiting for us. Those of us that know Christ, those of us that have experienced the power of the Spirit of God that's forgiven us, we've been born again, meaning His Spirit lives inside of us, that we have been forgiven. He promises that He's prepared that place for us. And so the response to that is how you and I will live in these worlds, in this world today, prepared for what's ahead. And so I believe in 2024, God's calling you and I to live in this place of preparation. We're saying we are prepared. We are not going to be caught off guard. We're going to continue to look to the hope of Christ. We're going to be prepared for those that do battle, prepared for those that walk into difficulties. You think about the people in the Old Testament. I was reading about Noah this last week and how he prepared the ark. Why? Because God had warned him that there was a storm coming and that he wanted a place of refuge. He wanted a place of safety. This morning we're going to look into 1 Peter, because 1 Peter identifies those very same things, that when you are prepared, you're building yourself a place of safety. You're building yourself a place where you can experience the peace of God. And I'm not talking about these preppers or anything like that. Hear me. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm saying that we need to be prepared. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking mentally, spiritually. We need to be prepared for the things that God is going to do, the things that are happening. We've been believing for this and praying for this. And I can tell you in the last couple weeks, what we have witnessed has been phenomenal, to see God moving and working in such divine ways that he's answering prayers that people have prayed, that he is the God that is going out and he's drawing people to himself. I believe that this morning, that he is speaking to people right now, that he's drawing you out of that place where you've lived maybe separated from him. You sense and know there's a place in your life that you're very vulnerable. You've lived under this weight, but today the healing power of Christ is available. The saving power of Christ is made available for you and I. And so we can come into this place. In 1 Peter, he writes and he refers to them as exiles, as sojourners, pilgrims. So he immediately in the first part of this chapter says, hear me, this is not your destiny. This is not your home. So don't take up residence like this is the end of all. This is where everything is and there's nothing more. He calls us to remind us that there is something ahead. There's something waiting for you and I. And so he says, I want you to live in such a way that you keep your focus. Keeping your focus on what is important. And we can get caught up and confused in this world and in the now, but we need to be focused on what is coming and what is ahead. That we are just passing through this life. And this is not your destiny. We are just passing through. I was reading just a headline this last week that was in the news. Those we said goodbye to in 2023. And it's not something new. Every year, at the end, what we see is people will go through a list and of celebrities and famous people and sports figures that have died in that previous year. Understanding our own mortality here in this body is something that's very fragile. But Peter says to us that we have an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is unfading, and it's kept for us in heaven. There's the wonderful promises of those who have a hope in Christ, that you and I have been given an inheritance, that we do not get caught up with a fixation on the present of the now, but we are prepared. And later on in verse 13, he's going to say, I want you to prepare your minds for what's ahead, for what's been prepared for you. Think of this. Our minds must be prepared for what's coming and what's ahead. So let's start in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb that's without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What a powerful challenge this is to you and I. What a reminder it is to us. So he says here in verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action. We are called to understand the scriptures again and again. Paul especially calls us soldiers. That we are on alert, that we are ready for action. That we are not, like I said just a few minutes ago, confused. I used to have some young men that worked with me, and they would struggle with keeping their minds focused on the tasks that we were doing. And so again and again, I would say to them, in a very firm way, but not in a way that was condescending or ridiculing them, but I would say to them, we need to keep our heads in the game. Keep your head in the game. And what I meant by that is I wanted them to focus on what we were doing. Because for too long, it's been allowed for us to just continue to be distracted by all these other things. But I believe these are the times that what Peter is telling us is having our minds prepared for action. So I know the right response in every situation. When we begin to live like that, we're not caught off guard. Later on in 1 Peter, he reminds us to be on guard against who? Our adversary. What does it take for you and I to be on guard? Is that our minds are engaged in the now. That we're not filled with things from the past that we're regretting, that we're not filled with shame or guilt from the past. We've been forgiven. Those of us that know Christ need to walk in the authority and the forgiveness of Christ in the moment and say, I'm not fixed on what's behind me, but I'm looking ahead. I'm keeping my mind right in that place where I can understand the seasons. You know, the men of Issachar, what it was said about them, the only thing that's really referring to them is they knew the times, they knew the season that they were living in. Their minds were engaged in what was going on around them. They weren't completely ignoring things. They weren't oblivious to things. I believe that's challenges to you and I. And Paul tells us that he will guard your hearts and your minds. So when Peter says prepare your minds, I believe that the enemy will try to do everything in us or everything to us that will try to keep us distracted by other things, oblivious to what's happening. But when we prepare our minds, the Holy Spirit begins to guard your mind and your heart so that you and I can function, so that we can know the right reaction, the right response for every situation. And what a promise that is, that we can live like that. So we know how to respond, how to react. The promises of God that he's given to us. What a miracle it is that he says, I'm going to guard you and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you through these days that you're living in. So he says, let your minds be ready for action. Be sober-minded. Immediately, our thoughts go to the opposite of sober. Being intoxicated, being distracted. So let us be sober-minded. At the end, as I said earlier, 1 Peter, he says, be sober. How many things, and I'm not talking just about alcohol, but how many things in this world wants to really dilute your mind, confuse your mind, get it out of focus? And so he said, I call you to this, that you would set your hope fully on the grace that was brought to you through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope. You set your hope fully on the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that was brought to you and I through what Christ has accomplished. Isn't it something that John the Baptist said he was called to prepare the way of the Lord? To prepare the way of the Lord so that people would experience the wonderful gift of God through Jesus Christ. The revelation. Remember what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What was happening there was a revelation. The revelation that you no longer need sheep or bulls. They were just an image of what was to come. But Christ, what did the angel say? Who will save the people from their sins. The revelation of Jesus Christ is this. And so when you can fixate your mind on what Christ has done, that he has revealed to you, that he says, I'm going to be with you. It's my peace I leave with you. In this world, when you go through difficulties and troubles, you and I need a revelation of Jesus Christ. That we are not in this by ourselves. What can happen is your mind can become so overwhelmed with the weight of the things that are going on around you that you become deluded where you can't even fix, you can't even focus on the hope of Christ. No, it's the hope of Christ. I'm going to walk through these difficulties. I'm going to walk through these fiery trials, like he says in the first part of chapter 1. These are the things that are testing me to keep me. No, I'm going to continue to keep my mind fixed on him. He's the author and the perfecter of this faith. You see the revelation of Jesus Christ? It continues today. No, I'm with you. I've watched people walk through these things. I've watched them walk through some difficult days. But they keep their minds fixed on the hope of Christ. I've watched people when they're stepping out of this world into the next. And all of a sudden, their mind becomes so sharp, and it's not on the things of this world, but you can see them, and God's beginning to give them revelation of the next world that's coming. Oh, I want to walk through this world so disconnected from this world that I'm so connected to the next one, saying, no, this is the hope that I have. This is the revelation of Christ. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done. And so I can come boldly to this throne because he's forgiven me, because he's filled me with his Spirit. And so I can walk in this way. He says, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions, here in verse 14, the passions of your former ignorance. He says, don't go back to doing things that you understand now are wrong. Don't turn back. How many times is it a challenge for you and I that we stay fixated, the journey, focused on the journey at hand, that we don't become distracted and we turn around? Paul says to the Galatians, who cut in on you? Who kept you from completing this? Who kept you from finishing? You went back to your former ignorant ways that you were walking in, all these legalistic manners of saying, I've got to do this and this, and I have to eat this, and all these other things. He said, don't go back to your former ignorance. But as he called you holy, be holy in all your conduct. I believe that the thing that God's calling us to in this year to come is we need to be prepared in every point of our conduct. So we say, no, I'm going to walk carefully before you. I'm going to walk circumspectly. That's what it means. When he tells us to walk carefully, he says, oh, you just think about every step. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to entertain that thought. I don't want to open the door to that vice again. Be holy, for I am holy. I believe that what is possible for you and I is we walk in a place of purity. How many times have we witnessed people that portrayed one thing, but behind closed doors, in secrecy, they responded, reacted totally inappropriate to what their public image. What Peter's saying is, let everything around you, let there be a transparency in our lives. It's easy when you can trust things that are transparent because you can see through them because there's nothing hidden. I see people that take pictures. Used to be the Sears Tower. And they go up to the Sears Tower and they have this place where you can stand out and it's glass. And you can look down and you can stand on this glass and you can look down hundreds and hundreds of feet. But you know what? It's transparent, but there's still such strength to it. So people stand there and have no fear. Oh. Because I can trust, even though it's clear, I can still trust in the strength of that material to hold me. He is saying that you and I need to live like that. That we need to live in such a transparent way that there's a strength in our lives that people look at and say, I can trust that. There's nothing hidden here. Peter says, oh, let your whole conduct be holy. It says here in verse 17, and if you call on him as Father, he judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Conduct yourselves without fear throughout the time of your exile. He reminds us, well, we're exiles, we're pilgrims. We're sojourners, and we're walking through this life. And so it matters how you and I conduct ourselves in the time that we are in the state of being sojourners. Because we know this, that there's something waiting for us. There is coming a day that we will have to give an account. I live with this understanding that one day God will ask me to give an account for what's been entrusted to me. It's the whole reason that we've been going through this, the risk and the reward of responsibility, because I understand that when God's entrusted these things to me, He's going to say, how did you respond into these situations that I gave you such favor? I put such blessing on your life. How did you react? Did you become selfish or arrogant? Or did you continue to serve me in a place of humility? See, it's your conduct that matters. Because why? We become the reflection of Christ. When we have our hope fully set upon Christ, we live with that constant reminder, no, it's not about me, it's not about me, it's about Christ. May Christ be witnessed in you and I. Now, are we perfect in that? No, no. There's certainly at times where we are blemished at times with things that mar the image, but oh, that we go back to the point of grace and say, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, continue to reflect, shine through my life, because I understand that I'm going to give an account. And this is just a season that I'm in right now. Knowing that you were transformed, or you were ransomed from the futile ways that you were inherited. You were ransomed. You used to live in bondage. You used to live as slaves. You used to live with no hope for freedom. And he says, oh, but you've been ransomed. And he reminds us going on, who ransomed you and I was Christ. When he came, he took all my sin. He took it all. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. There was nothing that would set me free from the shackles of sin. I couldn't try hard enough. I wasn't wise enough. But when there was no hope, the God of all hope sent his son, Christ. It's the simple message of the gospel. So we've been ransomed. So here's the question. If I've been ransomed and I've been set free, because it says it was for freedom that Christ set you free. So if I've been set free, then why would I continue to live like a slave? Why would I continue to live like a slave to these rules? Can't eat that, can't touch that, can't. All these things that have the appearance of holiness, godliness. Why would I live like a slave to those things? Or why would I live like a slave to my own human passions and desires? Why would I respond that way when I've been set free? Can you imagine going down to the local county jail and bailing someone out? And the person that's bringing them out to your vehicle, that deputy says, okay, I can take the shackles off your feet, I can take the cuffs off your hands. And you say to them, no, I prefer that you leave them on. Think of how foolish that would be. For some, they've had that experience and they long for the freedom, to the ability to move their feet and their hands without them cuffs and shackles on. When we've been set free through the power of Christ, why would we continue to live as slaves that are shackled and cuffed to these old patterns? No, he says, don't live like a slave. You're a pilgrim, you're a sojourner or an exile, but you're not a slave. Understand your identity. You have the freedom to walk and to move and to live through this life through the power of Christ, and you can live it in such a way that you are filled with joy and peace because you know what's ahead is better than what's behind you. Think of that. Think of the joy and the peace that can be found knowing when you fix your eyes on Jesus, what's ahead of you will always be better than what's behind you. That is living with an expectation set upon the promises of Christ. And so he goes on, that your faith and your hope, your faith and your hope are in God. I want to ask you this morning, as we step into 2024 tomorrow, is your faith and your hope in God? Oh, so many people put faith and hope in all these other things, in relationships, in their own health, all these other things that are so absolutely volatile. They're changing continually. Or you put your hope and your faith in financial things. May you and I say in 2024, our minds have been prepared for what's ahead, and they are filled with the hope and the faith that God is with us and he's going before us. And when we live like that, we can live with that joy and that peace that he's promised. This morning, if you need Christ, you're looking ahead with not hope and faith, but you're looking ahead with fear and despair to what's ahead, then I can tell you that this morning, the message of Christ is one that he says, oh, come and follow me. Lay down the past. Don't be a slave any longer. I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you that today you can fill people with faith and hope. Would you remove fear and despair right now from hearts and minds, oh God? They've been living in the past. They've been living under shame and guilt. Would you set them free right now? Would you release them, God, today so that they can be those pilgrims that walk through this world and their minds are not deluded by anything, intoxicated by anything, but they're fixing their minds on you, Jesus. Would you come with grace right now for people and mercy for people, that they would experience the very presence of Christ today, that you would remind them that you love them and your plans are good, and so we trust you, Jesus. And we thank you today that you are able to do all these things because you promised. And so we're believing for this coming year that we will be prepared for what's coming because, Jesus, you're already there. And you promised that you'd walk with us and never leave us. So we believe that today. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Overcast today with a chance of snow. Highs level off around 29. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 14. High of 30 tomorrow. Cloudy Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 31. 27, slight chance of snow Wednesday. Take a look at the extended forecast. 25 Thursday, 27 Friday, and 30 on Saturday. Once again, a high of 29 today. Lows level off around 14 tonight. We should top off around 30 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, in cooperation with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Butternut, now bring you the Lutheran Hour on 98Q Country, each Sunday morning at 8:30.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. When life becomes an endless roundabout of regret, Christ can be your entrance to forgiveness and a new start.
Regrets exit when the one who is the door becomes your door. Trust this, that the one who is the way desires to become your way through whatever is getting in the way of your relationship with God.
Guest speaker, Dr. John Nunes. And we'll talk with Jeff Kregmeyer about the new year of outreach today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. And thank you for your faithful support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. John Nunes is a pastor within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, currently serving in Southern California. His message is titled, The Exit from Regret. Now here is Dr. Nunes.
A reading from Luke chapter 2. And Simeon came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took the child up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sort of hoopla that is draped all over professional sports teams as they are introduced before big games is nothing like how Jesus Christ made his first entrance into this world 2,000 years ago. No razzle dazzle of trumpets, big drums, and smoke machines. With understated grandeur, the Son of God enters this world as the one and only one who ever was, who forever is, and who always will be, the only one in whom the divine and human natures are united personally with each other. Yet despite his once-in-forever credentials, Jesus enters the stage of human history without any fuss or fanfare, born into a particular family tree with a specific genealogy. He arrives on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea with a birth that to the naked eye looked obstetrically and gynecologically ordinary. But to the eyes of faith, eyes like Simeon's and Anna's, eyes like ours when the Spirit gives us eyes to see and a heart to believe, then this birth itself becomes the cradle in which we are born again. This Son of God and Son of Mary enters our world so that we can enter his eternity and exit the trap of sin and death from which we otherwise could never stand a chance to escape. Humorously, I can admit that sometimes it seems like there's no escaping from a visit to some of my beloved family members, especially on the Jamaican side of my family. When you attempt to leave from a visit, no matter how short or how long you've been there, it's like a scene from a sitcom. First, it requires strategy, cultural intelligence, planning ahead. For example, if I know I need to depart at 8 p.m., I begin the process 2 hours in advance of dropping hints. Because I don't know about your family, but you cannot just walk out on mine. I suppose it's a mix of fear and love, but one must ask for permission, usually from the eldest family member, who then predictably begs you to stay, and it goes back and forth. The guilt. You never come to visit, and when you do, you always leave so quickly. And then the bribing. How about another round of your favorite dessert? And then the memories, kind of like pulling rank. I remember when you were born. And then the tears upon tears. Where does the time go. St. Augustine once taught that Holy Scripture provides us with a narrative of the past, a prophecy of the future, and a description of the present. In this text from Luke chapter 2, we see all three literary forms at work: narrative, prophecy, and description, as well as all three kinds of time: past, future, and present. The Spirit moved in times past, actually with us in mind, in order to prepare for you and me within the everyday tick-tock of the present day an unending future that cannot ever run out of time. Sisters and brothers, no matter what your time zone, zip code, area code, or genetic code, whether you are entering life or exiting it, we all share this in common. We are all restless inhabitants of time. Time that keeps moving unstoppably under our feet, making us all pilgrims who enter and exit at some point along the road of life. Do you remember when you were beginning your journey in hope with a routine entrance as ancient as civilization, yet because it was yours and yours alone, it felt as fresh as a brand new sea breeze on a sandy, dry desert day, graduating from school, starting a new job, beginning a marriage, having children? Inevitably, in life, we all walk through long, wind-swept valleys, weeping with disappointment, hearts breaking as broken promises break relationships. Despair rises to meet you on the path. Diseases may overtake us. Sometimes we find healing as the healer finds us, but then we inevitably must take our exits, downsizing, retiring, losing a loved one. Finally, ourselves exhaling our own last breath. But time does not stop, no, not even with death, and God's story cannot ever end. People of faith possess the platinum promise that come what may, come hell or high water along the path of life, we yet rise to new heights, and we have so much to look forward to. We are yet to gasp in astonishment at the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, the fullness of the gift of baptismal peace that will bless us and keep us in the love of the Trinity forever. Oh, how I long for that sort of peace, that holy shalom that captivated Simeon in our reading, that trouble-transcending peace coming from the one who is both the source of every entrance and the end point for every exit, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is both the word and the speaker of the benedictory good word of peace, a word that will not break what it promises. It delivers peace that the world cannot give, but neither can the world take it away from us. This peace silences all wars and rumors of war, whether they are the brutish battles these days that roar in the birthplace of Jesus, or the inner warfare that infects us with anger or envy or lust. And one more thing, did you know that the pilgrimage to that peace has an entrance with your name inscribed on it? Wherever you are, God can find you. However damned you feel like you are, God can save you. However deep your wound of regret, God can heal you. Let's look at God's peace: narrative of the past, prophecy of the future, and description of the present. It begins here in our text with a small family, from a small town, with a small baby. So much of life is anchored in family, isn't it? Since I lost my own father, who exited this world through death in 2016, I have paid more attention to Joseph, the guardian of Jesus. He took on the role of dad, providing for and protecting Jesus. And the narrative tells us in Luke 2:40 that the child grew and became strong. I think we too often put Joseph in the shadows. We don't pay enough attention to the fact that Jesus grew and became strong and was raised in a family. The plan of salvation was embedded in a family which kept the faith, which honored the promises of God. Even though these parents were definitely caught off guard, yet they trusted what the narrative says in Psalm 111, that the works of God's hands are faithful and just. They trusted that God would carry out his plan with faithfulness and uprightness. Even though they had no clue what was next or specifically what God was up to in their lives, they leaned on one another as a family and they leaned on God to lead their journey. We who live 2,000 years later enjoy looking back at the Christmas story as if it were quaint nostalgia. But this family was on the edge of their seats, living it live in the anxieties of real time. As a family, they showed up at the temple. You could say they went to church together. Maybe that's a good resolution for 2024. They went to temple, as thousands of other families had done for hundreds of years. They kept their cultural custom. They followed their religious tradition. They honored the God of their foremothers and forefathers before them. They came to present the child at the temple and the mother for purification. All of this seemed ordinary, but neither the father nor the mother, nor especially the child Jesus, was anything like ordinary. His death was certainly not ordinary and would become the sword that Simeon prophesied that would pierce his mother's soul. In fact, in my tradition, she, Mary, is called the Most Blessed Virgin and the Mother of God. As St. Paul puts it, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son to enter our weaponized world from which no one will exit alive, in order to redeem those living under the pressure of regret. Those tied to a tyranny of unresolved situations. Yes, the new year can bring to mind old regrets. It's not easy to find exits from calcified regrets. Paths to forgiveness don't come easily in this life of regrets. Oh my, the things we've said and done that cannot be unsaid or undone, any more than you can uncrack an egg or unshoot a gun or uncommit a sin or undisrespect the image of God in yourself or unring a bell or untell someone to go jump in the lake of fire. I'm not a big fan of country music, but Toby Keith croons it about right. I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. I wish I could start this whole thing over again. And there is one place we can start again. It's a place called grace, where Jesus enters. Regrets exit when the one who is the door becomes your door. Trust this, that the one who is the way desires to become your way through whatever is getting in the way of your relationship with God. When Jesus shows up, the prophecy of Isaiah becomes a present promise. The Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up. You can enter your new year centered in praise despite the gloomy doomsday forecasts of negative naysayers with their catastrophic politics, despite the pessimistic media prognosticators who specialize in fear mongering and dividing us up from one another. 61 winters ago, in the month and year of my birth, January 1963. Martin Fransman published a compelling essay titled The New Year and All Things. He wrote, "Good times and good things will not save the church, and they will not save us. Bad things and bad times will not destroy us or the church. The Lamb that was slain alone can save, and the wrath of the Lamb alone can destroy us. There will be no rocks thick enough, no holes in the hills deep enough to shield us from that wrath of the Lamb and from him that sitteth upon the throne. That Lamb, of course, is Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. And I believe that he will come again. He will enter the world again to be our judge. And whenever Jesus enters the world, your world, my world, everything changes. What in the world are you waiting for, Simeon?" Oh, Simeon knew, and we know, exactly the one who was the joy of Simeon's deep desire. Listen again to Martin Fransman. "It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. It always is." Any fairly clever theologian or fairly clever historian can always make a pretty good case for both. The great art that we must learn, and it is the obvious one which we always forget, the indispensable art, the queen of all arts, is to learn to sing in good times and in bad times, and in times that are both good and bad. Simeon knew that art. No matter what the bad news, no matter what calamity they predict, the only thing Simeon saw that mattered was Jesus. And even though Simeon was already in the temple, now that he saw Jesus, he was fully ready to enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, ready to give thanks to God and bless his name, ready to praise God in this life and in the next. The child, Jesus, made his entrance, which made Simeon ready to make his exit. For a lifetime, he had waited for this moment to see the consolation of Israel, the light of the Gentiles, the inheritance of the nations, the glory of God's people, the epitome of God's promise, the fulfillment of God's covenant. Yes, Jesus Christ was the answer to Simeon's prayer, and he is the answer to ours as well. Jesus is the reason to shout with the psalmist, "Holy and awesome is God's name." Jesus is the reason to sing with Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." Jesus is the reason to give thanks with the prophetess Anna, who waited until she was 84 years old, fasting and praying for Jesus to come. I don't know what you've been waiting for or what you're waiting for today, but I do know that as you believe, Jesus will enter your life with love. You are a dwelling place of God, and the same Holy Spirit who spoke fail-proof promises to Simeon intoxicates us with joy as well, so that we can magnify the Lord with Simeon, no matter what age or stage or phase of life we find ourselves in. We've never accumulated so many years not to see this Jesus in a brand new way, not to praise God with a new song, not to worship the Holy Trinity with new energy. And because of what Jesus has already accomplished, as sure as you hear these words, you can be totally confident that God is at work in you through the power of the Spirit, renewing your mind today, restoring your soul today, raising up your spirit today, lifting up your heart today, forgiving your sin today, healing last year's regrets today. And one day, he will renew you perfectly with a glorified body. Like Simeon, we have so much to look forward to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, on-demand audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. Now here is Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. And this New Year's Eve, I am getting to visit with Mr. Jeff Craigmeyer, who serves as president of U.S. Ministries with Lutheran Hour Ministries. Welcome, and Happy New Year, Jeff.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thank you, Michael, for having me.
So you and I are both part of this larger team that does outreach for the with the good news of Jesus around the world, but we are called to focus in our field here in the United States.
Yes.
With the Lutheran Hour is one example. You're charged to oversee all of U.S. Ministries. Looking forward to 2024, what's something that energizes you about that mission?
If anything, it's really continuing to build upon the great work that has transpired so far. Not just within the last 10 years, but frankly, within the last 106 years of the history of this organization dating back to 1917. One area specifically for us that we are so good at and have been for a long time is the development of spiritual growth resources and programs. So everything from the Lutheran Hour to our daily devotions that people can subscribe to for free. Another area of focus for us is through our digital ministry called Thread, where we want to be able to lift people up, Christians first and foremost, in digital spaces such that they can build relationships and have conversations with those who might have questions about Jesus, might have fallen away from the Lord, have no faith life at all, and not be in a position where we're attempting to tell them specifically what they should be doing or not doing, but just be there in that space to build relationship and to build trust and hopefully over time win them over to Christ in that regard. Tony Cook often uses the phrase, gain a hearing for the gospel. The third area of emphasis for me, and this is one that we've talked about for a long time, it actually goes back to 10 years ago when I came to the organization. We did a lot of focus group studies and conversations with individual donors, just other constituents. And as we came to them to talk about what the future vision of our organization might be, when the time came for us to ask, what do you think about all of this as a donor, as a constituent? The response every time was, that's wonderful. You got me. I'm hooked. What are you going to do for my children and my grandchildren? What are you going to do for my kids and my grandkids? It's been a recurring rallying cry, I think, for us as an organization. The realization that this generation that we're in the midst of, the generations to come, they are leaving the church. And so with that, we have started to build up a number of new children's resources. Number one, first and foremost, is Gospel Adventures. We've been doing that particular program now for at least, I'd say, 6 or 7 years in a wonderful partnership with Group Publishing. In addition to that, we've added a podcast radio show called The Gospel Adventure Show.
Thinking about someone who's brand new to the Lutheran Hour, just maybe started listening today, What's one or two things you would want this listener to remember about who we are and what we do?
I sure hope and pray that they would come back the next week and the week after that. In fact, if anything, they should consider prospectively going to LHM.org, that's our website, and identifying previous episodes of the Lutheran Hour that they might want to listen into as well. We make all of this content available, again, free and easily accessible through multiple digital means, whether it be on a podcast, you can listen to it right there on the website. And so that would probably be the first and foremost thing is come back, continue to tune in to this very, very, I think, enriching experience that you, Mike, and others provide in terms of understanding the love of Christ in one's life, exploring the Bible, utilizing storytelling opportunities by which people can actually have an empathetic conversation and discussion with you. It's not just a sermon.
Thank you for joining us today in this New Year's Eve and for bringing your energy and love for the Lord and his people to this mission.
And so this being the last day of the calendar year, this is an opportunity for people to give back to the ministries of their particular choice that they want to support. I hope as you listen to this today, you might consider making a contribution to Lutheran Hour Ministries. The easiest way to consider doing that is by going to our website. That's lhm.org/give. Thank you for all those who give and support us already, and thank you for those who might consider that gift in the future too.
Pastor John Nunes invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them for their regular Sunday morning service of worship. Now in their 70th year of broadcasting, Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Hymns to be sung today are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 519, In His Temple, Now Behold Him, and number 392, God Loves Me Dearly. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Reverend Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is God's Favor. The sermon text is Luke 2, 22 through 40. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on 98.3 FM WCQM. We invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, please call the church at 715-762-4541. A condensed version of the worship service may be found on the church website at peacetoyou.pctcnet.net. That's peace, the number 2, Y-O-U, dot pctcnet.net. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for his ministry, you may do so on our website or Facebook page, or mail it to Peace Lutheran Church, 598 2nd Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552.
Here's your 98Q Country weatherology forecast. Overcast today with a chance of snow. Highs level off around 29. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 14. High of 30 tomorrow. Cloudy Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 31. 27, slight chance of snow Wednesday. Take a look at the extended forecast. 25 Thursday, 27 Friday, and 30 on Saturday.
Once again, a high of 29 today. Lows level off around 14 tonight. We should top off around 30 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
From Music City, USA, this is Into the Blue, featuring the very best in bluegrass and acoustic.